Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the Ferris Love Podcast. Today, we're speaking with Deb Meyer, financial advisor and founder of Worthy Nest, an independent wealth management firm that guides parents through important financial decisions using a values-based approach. Deb is going to speak with us about how families can navigate financial decisions, being good stewards of their wealth, while also teaching their children some gratitude. So, Deb, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
So we'd love to just get to know you a little bit. Tell us about kind of where you started getting into this financial, you know, world, and what inspired you to kind of help and build this company that you have, Worthy Nest.
Yeah. So I am a self-proclaimed money nerd. I started reading Money Magazine like back in middle school. I think it was just, well, so one of my earliest money memories was actually in Tijuana, Mexico. I was in fourth grade and my family got to go to San Diego and we took a day trip down to Mexico. And I just remember leaving Tijuana where my sister wanted a poncho. And my dad is negotiating in Spanish. Keep in mind, he hasn't had Spanish in like 30 years, but he's negotiating in Spanish, trying to get, you know, my sister this poncho, but trying to bring the price down. And finally, the store owner, who normally speaks Spanish, she says to me, "Your papa too cheap, get a new papa." So that was like one of my earliest money memories. And then I was like, I think just money's intriguing. It's something that I really want to learn over time and develop the skill. And I actually moved a lot when I was young. And anytime we had to move to a new city, it was mostly because my dad's job would be threatened. He was in manufacturing and I grew up in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, a manufacturing plant would close down and then we'd just move to the next city to find employment for him. And my mom was always able to get a job as a CPA. So I'm like, okay, maybe this pathway would be good for me because it gives me some stability and things like that. So, long story short, I went to school, studied accounting, got my accounting degree and worked at Deloitte for a couple of years and then really just fell in love with the personal finance side after that. And I've been working with clients in some capacity with, since 2006. Wow. So almost 20 years of financial advisory work. And it's really rewarding. I just love, I'm a mom myself, so just love helping other parents really navigate family finances and toward a better future for their families.
And let's just take a little look into that with the parent or the families that you work with, or even within your past work too. Sure. What are some things that you notice about families in regards to their finances and like how they can become good stewards of those finances, how they have become through your advice or through, you know, whatever, and how they can, you know, how they've kind of grown through that process? Because I think money is, you know, it's a, it can be a great thing and then it can be a not so great thing. So I guess it just depends. So yeah, go ahead and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people, depending on how they grew up, it can have a big impact on their lives as adults, right? If they had good models of behavior in their parents for prudent money management and being generous and being good stewards, it's obviously easier to follow a pathway that's already been set before you, right? But for a lot of families, they didn't necessarily, or a lot of parents don't necessarily have that growing up. And it's really about coming together. You know, I work with a lot of married couples. So coming together, even depending on some very different circumstances, and just trying to find that united front of what you guys value together as parents and how much stewardship really does play into the decisions that you're making. And I think a lot of people get mixed up with generosity and stewardship because they are two different things. Generosity is really more about giving. It's about finding that sense of looking beyond yourself, but really helping those people in need that typically comes in the form of financial assistance. But with stewardship, you're looking at it as, hey, God owns it all. And I'm just here to be a manager of the resources that he's entrusted to me. So understanding that nuance and difference is a really crucial piece to really embracing what your God-given calling is. And that's, again, to be more of a steward, not just being on that generous side where you're focused solely on charitable giving. So when I'm working with clients, you know, a lot of what our initial planning conversations surround is finding out what some of those core values are. And typically they might be different for the spouses, but finding at least one or two shared values and really honing in on that as a framework for the financial decisions that you're making. So when you're looking at it from a budgeting perspective, if generosity or stewardship is a core value, that's going to look different in your budget versus some other family that's like, hey, adventure is top value for us. They're going to be spending on more adventurous experiences, right? Yeah. But for someone who's stewardship or charitably minded, they're going to be focused more on that giving aspect and maybe even saving more for future events rather than just spending it in the moment here and now. So I do think examining the values is a really important distinction, regardless of whether you work with an advisor or not, but just understanding what those values are is a great first step to acknowledging whether stewardship's really an important piece for you or not.
Yeah, that's a great point too, because I mean, I love how you said that you basically would talk to each family, each parents, and discern that, because some families might not have the capacity to be able to be, let's say, as generous or whatever as another mm-hmm. family. And so you have to discern that too. And just because you can't doesn't mean that you aren't generous in what you can give. So when looking at when you have your parents or anyone, just when you're considering families, how can parents, let's say they have a pretty good, you know, understanding of finances and all that stuff, how can they kind of instill that mentality within their children without burdening their children with this idea of like, here's our finances, you know, and just giving mm-hmm. them the opportunities to learn those skills? How would you suggest that they go about doing that?
Yeah, I think it's an important question. And again, it starts with modeling, right? If you were growing up in that environment where it was modeled to you, it's a lot easier to get that. So just understanding any decision that you're making, your kids are going to see that reflected in the day-to-day living. So like for our family, stewardship is a big deal. Generosity is a big core value of mine. And when I'm trying to teach that to our younger sons, it's really finding teachable moments throughout those kind of everyday conversations with our kids. So, when they get money from a birthday or some other gift, figuring out, okay, what are we going to do with that money? Do we want to spend it all? Do we want to save it? Do we want to put it towards a charitable cause? Do we want to do a little of all three? And also understanding that like each child is going to be naturally inclined in a different way towards money. So my oldest, for example, he's very inclined to spend. As soon as he gets the money, he just wants to spend it. My middle son loves saving. My youngest son loves giving. So I have like one in each bucket that they that's their natural propensity. And recognizing that in them and kind of seeing, okay, well, I mean, I just have an example of like my youngest. I remember last year we went to his cousin's birthday party and I had gotten her a card and put some cash in the card. And then he's like, oh, mom, I want to give cash. He took it out of his piggy bank and really went to give her extra money. I'm like, oh, honey, it's okay. This is the thing adults do for, she's my niece. And, but it was just, it was such a sweet spirit behind it. So again, understanding that each kid is going to be different perhaps, or, and, you know, and I'm not saying every family is going to have three kids of all different propensities, but the degree to which they're open to those conversations is also going to vary. So with my oldest, I don't think I've ever gotten him to like freely give to a charitable cause without me being like, this is what you have to do. Yeah, and that's, it's just, he's wired that way, and I'm trying to kind of sway him, but at the same time, I have to pick my battles as a parent. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm like, well, I would rather focus on the fact that he's 15, has his learner's permit. You know, there's other things that go along with being raising a teenager that I have to focus more on those things than on whether he's donating to charity or not with his, mm-hmm. his earnings. So, so again, just understanding your child's behavior and natural tendencies, and then really gearing towards those tendencies to responsible management, whatever that looks like. So with my oldest, we actually required him, as soon as we moved back here to Missouri, we were like, hey, you're 15, you can look for a job. And luckily he got a part-time job, so we don't have as many fights about money, because I'm like, hey, you have your own spending money. He gets about 200 bucks a week, or not a week, every other week, which is really great for a 15-year-old. So I'm like, all right, let's find a workable solution where he's encouraged to responsibly manage it while he's here at home, while we're still, you know, having that presence and oversight for his account.
Right. And you also, like, I love how you encourage him. Like, I think that's so important as a parent to see the strengths in your children, but then also mm-hmm. to see the weaknesses, and then also encourage those weaknesses to grow by saying, sure. Hey, maybe you should do this, or you need to get a job because this will be better for you. You know, like, that's really mm-hmm. a powerful example as well. And, you know, when we think of our kids earning money or doing those kinds of things, obviously, I think sometimes it's like, oh, save, you know, like, keep it in mind. Like, we try mm-hmm. to encourage those kinds of things. I am curious your thoughts on, you know, parents who, let's say you discuss with your clients, like, okay, what are your family goals? All those kinds of things. How can our parents balance that, like, that trait of saving for things, but then also balance kind of, yeah, the generosity or giving. It doesn't have to be necessarily to, let's say, you know, all these X number of charities, but like giving could also be, you know, having people over for dinner or things like that. Like, how can parents balance that kind of distant future of saving with the current now of how can we be generous?
Yeah. It's an excellent point. I do think there's a fine line, especially if you've lost someone that you love. You typically have a kind of heightened sense of like, hey, tomorrow isn't promised, right? There's we don't know when our time on earth is going to be done. And that sometimes creates a sense of urgency of like, hey, I need to be more free with spending and actually enjoy life a little bit more. Because again, some people are very naturally, I'll use a personal example. Like when I lost my mom a couple of years ago, it was really tough for me. And I had traditionally been such a super saver. And then I finally was like, hey, I need to kind of reframe what am I saving for? Like, what's the end goal here? We have a lot in savings already. Do we really need more in savings, or should we actually be spending some of this extra money because we're living prudently? Should we be spending it on experiences with our kids while they are alive and healthy and everything else? So I think it's going to be different, again, for every family in terms of what their willingness is to save. But we could make that change in our family because we had gone through a lot of preparation and had already put a lot in future savings accounts. So that's a big distinction. But if you guys feel like you're really far behind on saving, I mean, that can be a really great point of reckoning to say, hey, we're going to really work towards having something for the future, because maybe there's longevity in the family and, you know, you want to be able to live until 100 and know that you're not going to be worried about running out of money at age 100. So for a lot of people, envisioning that future self can be really beneficial, because you don't want to picture someone so far ahead that it's just unimaginable, but even just picturing what life is going to look like 5 or 10 years out can be really helpful in framing that goal to save more. But again, you don't want to do it at the expense of becoming Scrooge or something where you're just hoarding money and not having a real purpose behind the savings. So, when I'm working with clients on those kinds of goals, oftentimes they don't have trouble coming up with goals of spending. It's more, how do we make all of these things happen, right? For a lot of them, they want to send their kids to college and pay for a fair share of that. They want to be able to retire comfortably, perhaps even at a quote unquote earlier age than the traditional 65, right? They want to be able to enjoy life in the moment. So oftentimes my job as an advisor is really helping balance, okay, these are goals worth saving for and really putting proactive dollars towards. And these other goals, maybe you'll want to reconsider so that you can satisfy the college or retirement goals that you've really, that are higher priority in your list. So really helping people figure out what those different priorities are and creating a plan of where they need to directionally go.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, you had mentioned your own personal experience. Thank you for sharing that. What would you, I know a lot of families can tend to have like pretty good financial situations going for them, but then all of a sudden like tragedy strikes or let's say someone loses a job, or there's definitely financial stress. So how can parents navigate those situations? Kind of just making sure that they're not, I guess, giving up, but just the idea of, you know, yes, there's financial, you know, struggle, but how can parents navigate that to where they are finding some peace in the midst of it, but also that their children too can see, okay, this is a reality. This can be a reality of life. And this is how my parents are dealing with it, which is a great lesson to learn as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because I do know there's just a lot of change lately and lots of job losses happening. You know, the hope would be prior to any kind of job loss, you have some kind of cash cushion saved to make it through those more difficult times. Years ago, this was 2016, my husband lost his job, and I know firsthand it was very scary to go through that. Even as a spouse, I was still earning some income, but it wasn't enough to really support all of our family's expenses. And it does take a lot of prayer, really persevering through those difficult times. And this might not even be a financially difficult time. Maybe it's just some other kind of suffering. But really, that's truly the time to be leaning into God. And for you know, for all of us, we have to maintain that healthy perspective, because if we get down in the dumps, if we get into deeper depression, there's just very little hope on the horizon, and it makes it that much more difficult to get that next job or to overcome that struggle. Usually you have to have a more positive mindset for people to even want to interview you. I mean, right now it's crazy. I have a friend that lost his job recently, and I think he's reached out to 90 different places and only had 3 interviews. Wow. And just those kinds of things where you're like, wow, it can be very challenging. And there, again, maintaining that hope and perspective, God doesn't give us lives of ease. He doesn't promise that there's never going to be suffering, but understanding that he's with us through all of those trials, and that there will be a brighter day. When my husband was unemployed, he got a job after a few months of being unemployed. Yes, it was very stressful, but eventually he got something and we were back on a more normal track. And also understanding in those times, you're not going to be at a place where you can be giving charitably to a lot of organizations. You have to really trim down the budget, look at what some of those essential expenses are, and maybe you could be giving of your time instead of your treasure during those more challenging financial times. So that's something else to be thinking about. Just if you are falling on hard times, don't feel like you have to tithe the 10% if you're not sure where your next meal is coming from because things are really tight.
That's a great point too. Yeah, I think that's, I love that you said giving your time. You know, sometimes we can think that tithing is only strictly financial and it's just like one of those great things that you can do, but also, yeah, your time is so valuable as well. Mm-hmm. I'd love to get into some more of the, like, the practicals now. What are some key financial principles that families should pass down to their kids? Like practical, maybe give me three things that you think are like kind of the most important things that children could benefit from as they become adults as well.
Yeah. I think there's plenty more than three, but I guess if I had to choose, number one is just that sense of personal responsibility. For a lot of people, and I don't know about you, but I've read like Millionaire Next Door and, The Next Millionaire Next Door, which my friend Dr. Sarah Flaw co-authored with her father, nice. Thomas Stanley. A lot of those studies indicate that relying on parental assistance, especially as young adults, tends to become a pattern, and it becomes that much harder to break, you know, as you get older. So that's something, again, we really try to instill in our kids, is that sense of personal responsibility. Even if we have financial resources to give, we're still trying to get those positive money habits in our kids at a young age. My kids know how to do 20% tips at restaurants. They know how to, like, I don't know. It's just amazing how much they can be sponges. Mm-hmm. And we probably have way more money conversations than any other family, but but it's exciting when they can soak that up. And if you just think about kids just in general, they really are sponges. I mean, I think I heard some stat of like, if kids learn multiple languages at a young age, I mean, they can be, I've met some kids that are like trilingual at age 8. And I'm like, my gosh, how is that possible? But it really does come true. So understanding that financial responsibility is a key component, and really figuring that out in tangible ways, even from a young age. So with super young kids, helping them count coins, understanding the value of a penny versus a nickel or a dime or a quarter, just getting them used to what those things mean. And I know we're going into more of a cashless society, but I still think it teaches the idea of there's a tangible thing here. This is worth a certain dollar amount. And many of these pennies have to equal the quarter. And, you know, just I can't accentuate enough how even like kids as young as 4 or 5 years old can pick up some of these concepts on personal finance. So that's one, is that personal responsibility. I think the other is stewardship, as we talked about earlier, just understanding that it's God's and God is entrusting this to us as a gift. So we need to steward it wisely. And that doesn't mean excessively spending. It doesn't mean excessively saving. It's kind of following that middle path of prudence, really deciphering that, hey, there are people with needs. And yes, we want to give to charitable needs, but even within like the savings side, we can be investing in alignment with our values as well. So figuring out solutions on the investing side that have a faith-based component to them, where they're really trying to embrace positive social change. Like those are some other kinds of key concepts we can introduce even from a young age around stewardship and investing. Like my 12-year-old and 15-year-old both have some Coverdell accounts I opened a long time ago, and I let them invest a small portion of those accounts in some stocks, like let them research and pick the stocks. Yeah. That was a cool teaching tool to get them more interested in investing. And sure enough, like they're asking on a, well, the older one, he has access to see it himself, but the younger, my 12-year-old, he checks in and says, "Hey mom, can we take a look and see how the stocks are doing?" Just even having that conversation about stewardship and why we take the amount that's saved and actually invest it for longer term goals. I would say that's number two. And then three, if I had to put it in place, I would say also learn to have fun with money sometimes. I don't think we don't want people or our kids to be too bogged down with financial concepts where like they're so hyper aware of what everything costs that they don't learn to have fun with money sometimes or figure out ways to spend it in a cool experiential way. But I guess tied to that though is the idea of experiences being more important than tangible items, because there are a lot of studies around happiness as it relates to finances, and the experiences definitely have a higher level of satisfaction than just tangible items once you get to a certain level. So that's something we instill a lot in our family and many of my clients, where we're saying, hey, let's figure out if we have, you know, a couple hundred dollars to spend at Christmas time, are we going to spend it on a new toy or are we going to spend it on a family experience? And we almost always choose that family experience.
I love that. Yeah. And I think of somewhere I heard where it's like you have three gifts. Like one is like an experience for Christmas, kind of. One is an experience. One's a learning thing, like a book or something. And then the other is, okay, something that you might have wanted. You know, like it's emphasizing the experience is over. And I love how you mentioned just even saying your, you know, kids are so absorbent of ideas from such a young age. And I remember growing up and there was a doll or whatever, something that I loved. And we found out that like the company was just supporting like not the greatest not the greatest organizations. And so my mom sat me down and had the conversation of saying, hey, so we don't support this. So we're going to take a break from buying this product from this point on. And like, it was a really cool experience to know like, okay, wait, our money does matter. Like even as a kid, or my money does matter. I can still make a difference as a 7-year-old by saying, I don't want to support this, or I do want to support this. And I love that you also have that with your own sons and like giving them the opportunity to see where they can do the research. Also a very cool experience. What is, like, just to kind of round out the conversation, what is one financial piece of advice, wisdom that you can share with parents that kind of could help them in any way? It could be anything you want. It's the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah, I think I would just share, regardless of what's happened in the past, if you've made financial mistakes in the past, it doesn't really matter. It's what you do in the future. There's always a fresh start and possibility. So I'd encourage you to use today, the day you're listening to this podcast, to be that kind of fresh start. And if you have the right mindset about making changes, it really, that's half the battle, or more than half the battle, to be honest, just having that abundance mindset that change is possible, and that whatever station you happen to be in today isn't permanent. It is changeable. So that's my encouragement.
Great. Thank you. Thanks so much, Deb. And can you let us know how our followers can either find your services for Worthy Nest or, you know, learn more? I know you have a couple other things that you're doing. So can you share with our audience what you do?
Sure. So my website, Worthy Nest, WORTHYNEST.com is the main hub. And then I do have Beyond Budgets podcast. So feel free to listen to that if you want to dig even more into finances. We have a mix of solo and interview episodes. And I guess on social media, I am also pretty active on LinkedIn, Deborah Meyer, CPA, CFP. Nice. So yeah. Any of those avenues would be great.
Perfect. We'll put that in the show notes. So awesome. Thank you so much again for being on our show and kind of sharing this look at finances and gratitude and all those things. We really appreciate you being on our show.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary Grace.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.